I learned so much just being here. You know, some thoughts that I'd had for 15, 20 years, and then the door was open to be able to study these things. And I've learned just so much just being part of this group, and I think because of the unity that God is bringing here. And like Curtis says, it's because we stand on the Word of God. We don't stand on the doctrines of men. We
recording in progress.
So we're looking at 144,000, and that, you know, led to the resurrection. Right? That the name written in the forehead. The sealing is not the Holy Spirit. They had already were sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the writing of the name in the forehead was the resurrection of the saints. So we studied how there is an order to it, the dead in Christ first, then we which are alive, and then saved Jewish remnant that are going to be resurrected on that day. But we didn't look at what the cursed, the damned. We took a side journey last week looking at first fruits and army. So I want to get back to the resurrection because I believe that the Bible teaches one resurrection. That it's on the last day, they're within an hour of each other. And I know for some this is redundant, but I think for others, you know, I don't think it hurts to look at this again. We saw that the blessed are the resurrection of the just, and there's an order to it. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. So today I want to cover the resurrection of the damned. And like we said before, when is it? You know, when are they resurrected? We've studied this when we studied the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Armageddon, where Christ slaughters them at Armageddon, and he raises them at Jehoshaphat to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Because the judgment seat of Christ is for everybody. That's when he separates sheep from goat, wheat from tare, good fish from bad fish. That's for everybody, and we are judged according to the kingdom. They're judged according to damnation. So the timing, like I say, to me these things are important to understand the timing of things. So I'll say it again, the word resurrection, I can't remember how many times it's mentioned, I think 20, 21, 22, I'm not sure, but it's always singular. It's never plural, it's always singular. So this is one reason why I believe there's one resurrection. When is it? Well, you don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians, we looked at this, we know these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22 say that all were made, all die in Christ, and all, not just believers, but all should be made alive in Christ. And what there was an order to it, Christ the first fruit. So we studied that last week. But like we said, the first fruits for us is receiving the Holy Spirit. The first fruit of Christ is he had already had the Holy Spirit. So his fruit was the resurrection. So we need to receive the Spirit, and then we will become the first fruits of the resurrection. So and the resurrection says in 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, those at Christ at his coming. Well, he's only coming back one more time. And I'm told that that's when the resurrection takes place. The rapture is the resurrection. The rapture is when people get changed from their mortal bodies to their immortal bodies. So once again, what is the timing of it? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:50 says at the last trump. I only know of one last trump. You know, and I hear the dispensationalists and the pre-tribbers say things like, well, there's many trumpets in the Bible. Well, that's nice. There's only one last one. And that's found in Revelation at the last trump when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. That's the second coming. Okay, so, like I said, we saw the order. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 16 says the dead in Christ and then we which are alive. Ezekiel, we studied that last week or 2 weeks ago, in Zechariah says, then a remnant of Jewish saved people are going to be resurrected. The damned are resurrected at the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And Luke, let's just turn there. I know we've done this before. Let's look at Luke 11, 31 and 32. It just meditate on what's being said here.
It's J.L. Joel.
Yeah. So Luke 11, 31, 32, we've done this before, but just to, you know, refresh, this is the judgment. So this can't be the white throne judgment because we're at this judgment. Why? Because saved people are there too, right? So the 31 says the queen of the south shall rise, she'll be resurrected, they'll be resurrected, up in the judgment with men of this generation. So he's talking about the generation that was on the earth with him at that time, 2,000 years ago, but yet a generation of people 600 years before them are going to be raised too at that same time in the judgment. For she came from the othermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh, this took place hundreds of years before, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So you can see these are saved people. The queen of the south, the men of Nineveh, they're saved people. So this is clearly the judgment seat of Christ when he's raising everybody up as nations, right? He's raising them up as nations and they're standing before them, and he's going to condemn the generation that rejected him. So they're going to get their punishment and these people are going to go into the kingdom. So, like I said, when is it? The Bible says the last trump. Let me turn to John chapter 11. I'm going to read to you Job. Listen to what Job said. Job was well aware of a resurrection. Listen to what Job says in Job 19:25-27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. When is that? Second coming, right? Okay. And though my after my skin worms destroy this body, the worms are going to destroy this body, right? And then he says, yet in my flesh I shall see God. It's a resurrection, right? Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. For my reins shall be consumed within me. Okay, so John chapter 11. John, you want to read 23 and 24. John 11, 23 and 24. Doug, John 6, 39-54. Okay? And then Nancy, John 5, 21-29.
Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
Mm-hmm. So, the promise is, the brother is going to rise, and now Lazarus died, right? And what I've heard the dispensationalists say, and the preacher say, oh, there's many resurrections in the Bible. And they point to Lazarus as a resurrection. That's clearly not a resurrection. A resurrection is what happened to Jesus Christ. When he was resurrected, he had a glorious body that could never die. He shed his blood. Our blood has to come out. You notice what he says. In Job, he said, but in my flesh, not in my flesh and blood, but in my flesh I will see God. So we're going to see God in our flesh, which is the resurrected body.
So I have a question on the last day. So this can also be referred to as when there is no day or night. Right? There is no more day.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. The last day is the last day. Right? It makes it clear. They're not last days. But I just like this because Martha was well aware. She didn't say, I know that he shall rise again in one of the resurrections. She said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. At the last day. Well, how did she know this? He told her. He clearly taught them this, right? And Jesus said, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. So you can be, you notice, you can be dead and alive at the same time, right? You can be spiritually dead and alive at the same time. You can have a resurrected body and be dead. at the same time. Okay, so go ahead, Doug.
Oh, what's the final verse? 39
to 54. But just listen to what he's saying here.
And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to see me except can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which is cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give up us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Four times. I mean, Occam's razor says when there's two competing theories, take the simplest answer is the answer. Now, we've got witnesses here that constantly put the raising up of the dead at the last day. And he says it four times in the same chapter here. And he also calls it everlasting life. Okay, so the unbeliever, or not the unbeliever, but the dispensationalist or whatever, will say, well, those are saved people. You know, he said that the damned are going to be resurrected. Okay, go ahead, Nancy. John chapter 5. And then get a finger in Daniel 12.
For the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God, the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
So, as you see here, he not only puts it in the last day, he puts it in within an hour of each other. The resurrection, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how quickly, a twinkling of an eye is, somebody gets resurrected. A twinkling of an eye. What makes it so hard to believe that God cannot slaughter the world at Armageddon and raise them up within an hour later to stand at the judgment seat of Christ? I think it's very possible. And see, to me, there's no verses that say, well, after 1,000 years, they're going to be resurrected to damnation. I see verses that put the resurrection in at the same event, of the just and the damned at the same event. And he says judgment is given to Christ. Well, he's coming to judge. He's coming to slaughter and to judge on the day of the Lord. So he's clearly raising people up. And he's saying it's happening right now. When people die, they hear the voice of God. And the voice of the Son of God. they say, well done, thou faithful servant, come to the kingdom, or depart into everlasting damnation. So people right now are hearing his voice, but they haven't been resurrected to the judgment yet. And they're resurrected when he comes back and judges the world. So here's a verse, verse 29, to me says that there is one resurrection, between resurrection of life and resurrection of damnation. Well, Daniel 12 says the same thing. There's another witness to this. Daniel 12, I'll read here, 12:1. Okay, so at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth up for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So, okay, people say, well, he's talking to Israel. Well, everyone that is found written in the book, that would include us. And Michael, this is 1 Thessalonians 4, where the voice of the archangel. So that 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking to Gentiles, right? The church. But this is the same event, because Michael is the only archangel. Gabriel's not an archangel. Satan is not an archangel. Michael is the only one mentioned as the archangel. The two angels standing at the right hand and on the left hand of Christ, Gabriel, who is the messenger, and Michael, who is the warrior. Right? So Michael's the archangel. So for people to say, well, he's talking to Israel here, well, Kevin, you're written in the book, aren't you? Well, that would include us. It says everyone written in the book. So this is clearly the same event as 1 Thessalonians 4, because in 1 Thessalonians 4 we see a resurrection and a rapture. Look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. There it is. There's the resurrection. That's what he just said in John. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. I don't see a 1,000-year separation here. I see the same event. And they that shall be wise is a Holy Spirit word, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. That's what you're going to look like. That's not a human body. That's a resurrected body. Go ahead, Lance.
Is Michael the one that leads the dragon into the bottomless pit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I shouldn't say yeah. I'm not sure. That could be Christ.
Doesn't say.
There's war in heaven, Michael and his archangels, but I think Jesus has the keys to death, death and hell in the pit. So
he carries cash into the...
Yeah.
I thought it was angel. I thought it was...
The bottomless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could, well, I'm not going
to
say
the one that was released to release him was destruction.
Right.
All right? That's not
out
Michael.
Of the pit.
Yeah, out of the pit.
Yeah.
That's not Michael or... an archangel, that would be Lucifer.
Right. But there is, in Revelation 12, there is war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the devil and his
right.
angels.
When the dragon goes to the pit,
mm-hmm.
right, he gives him a key or something. He gives does he give an angel a key
in yeah.
the pit?
To lock him in the pit.
But Curtis is right.
Yeah,
the angel that opens up the bottomless pit is actually Satan.
Because he releases them.
That's
was
right.
War in heaven when Michael cast Satan and a third of his angels?
Yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I thought of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to the earth, but not to the
pit. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's Christ that has
yeah.
the keys.
A little different spot.
Yeah.
A little further down. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well,
I see you
have these all prophets going in there, too.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they go to the lake of fire. They don't go... The bottomless pit, the pit is hell. The lake of fire is the second death.
Yeah.
They're different.
That's right. They go.
That's right. They
first
immediately
first
go
the
into the lake. We'll look at that.
Yeah. Go straight to the lake.
That's right.
Pass go. Do not collect to one.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So okay. So some. Where am I?
Right over there. I see you.
Okay. Okay, but for but thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, I don't care what anybody says. We're getting dumber.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everybody says, oh, the technology is now controlling people. The TV is now controlling people. I really do think this is talking about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well,
where biblical wisdom is increased some. Understanding end times, understanding prophecy.
Well, the beginning of knowledge is what?
The fear of the Lord.
The Lord.
That's right.
So he's really speaking about
right.
knowledge increasing
yep.
and the fear of the Lord. The understanding of God should be increasing at the same time.
As I say, to me, most of us are in this kind of same age group. I'm seeing a dumbed down people.
Oh, amen.
I am seeing a dumbed down people. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, you know, my kid's an A student. Their kid, he wouldn't have been an A student even 60 years ago or even 100 years ago.
Yeah.
He would have been a D student. They've dumped down the curriculums to pump these kids up because everybody gets an award.
You hear about that college, and it's an elite college, that all the students are demanding A's.
See,
everyone gets an A.
Yeah.
That's what they're demanding.
And they'll get it. They'll get it. You know, because we can't, we don't want to ruin their, you know,
self.
I hear you.
Where's the
point of being
there? I showed a teacher of a sixth grade test. And I wished I could remember everything for a final exam for a sixth grader in the 1800s. And the teacher looked at it and she goes, I don't even know half of what they're calling for.
Yeah. You ever see these videos? They go around to these colleges, major colleges, and they're asking them questions. They can't even.
They know nothing about American history.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They know nothing.
The farther you get away from the creation.
That's right.
The more devolved the evolution, not evolution.
Yeah.
So things aren't going up and getting better.
Yep.
Things are going down and
battery. Yep.
That's what it is.
We are building an AI society. That's what we're doing.
That's
AIs
right.
are going to control
it. Right.
Control. And
so
think that.
There's a spirit behind it.
There's an AI society coming. They want to mingle the human being with technology. They're going to make an
that
image.
That might be why the false prophet and the beast go to
that's
record.
Right.
They might be part human, part computer.
Well, he calls them both beasts.
That's, yes.
Which tells me that they are already in their eternal bodies, because you have to die once to go to the second death. Which, and he calls one of them the beast, Judas Iscariot, because he's the son of perdition, and Jesus called him a devil 2,000 years ago, which tells me he is already in his eternal body. And the other one is the false prophet, which Revelation calls another beast.
Right.
So he's a beast.
And he's got all the power of the first
one. And he comes up out of the earth.
Yeah, right.
He comes up, so he's a devil too.
Yeah.
Which tells me that's why they're cast alive into the lake of fire while everybody else goes to the pit.
Because they already had their death.
That's right.
So
it seems that, I think, you talk about the plumb line.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The plumb line has changed. if you don't have the correct measurer, everything you measure,
yes.
My dad said many, many, many years ago, my father said the problem with tardy dating is their initial findings are in error.
Right.
So
that's
everything
right.
you ever measure,
that's right.
From that,
measure,
yeah.
they're going to get a wrong.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what's happened with education.
Yeah.
So when Curtis stands up
mm-hmm.
and when he makes a stand for God's word, they don't say, oh, wait, let's go to God's word.
That's right.
Listen to what he said. Go to God's word. What did they do? No, they have more education.
That's right.
Right.
This is even within the church.
Absolutely.
That education has become the plumb line.
Yeah.
And what's education? It's the thoughts of men.
That's right.
That's
all it is.
You want
humanism.
Yep.
What you're seeing is humanism.
That's
right. You know, me and Kevin were talking earlier how, you know, you watch these guys like Dr. Malone and all these guys, they're not to what's getting on. These are legitimate science doctors who study medicine and understand these things. And what they're saying is we're moved past science now. Now it's scientism.
Yeah.
Now it's politicized.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, the science says global warming. The science says, well, what science? Well, the science that's being propagated by political pundits.
And Satan. I mean,
that's right. And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Plan that Jesus knew
that's right.
When he was
when
on the earth, he knew this was here.
That's right.
The apostles knew it was here.
Yep.
It is here. And this isn't just happened in the last 50 years.
That's right.
Or the last 100. This is from the beginning.
So that's what I say. It is worldly knowledge increasing? No, it's getting dumber. So I look at this verse and I say, spiritual wisdom is now to those that seek Him.
Yes.
And like Wendy said, we have people that we call brothers and sisters in churches that they're not seeking it.
Right.
They say, I'm not listening to what you're saying. We're not going through the tribulation and I'm going to cut you off. talking with Gail about this. You could talk to, you go to a church, you could talk to anything you want. You bring up pre-trib as a false doctrine, they'll tell you to leave.
Yeah.
They will, you can talk about a million years, over a thousand year creation, whatever subject you want to talk about. You bring this up, their sacred cow, pre-trib rapture, or easy believism, those two things, you're leaving. Get out.
Yeah.
Somebody had something, yeah.
So you think that this is worldly knowledge? And the next verse...
No, I don't think it's worldly knowledge.
Mm-mm. So the knowledge...
I think biblical knowledge is increasing.
Yeah. That's what's increasing?
Yeah.
Because the next verse is talking about there's a gap there. There's one person on the bank and then there's another person on the other.
That's Revelation 10. Side. Yeah. If you look at it...
5.
Yeah.
So does that mean that it's creating a gap? This knowledge.
Oh, let's look at it. Okay, so verse, let's start at 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal.
We're in 12. Daniel, verse 12. 5.
So we'll start at 4 again. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal up the book, even till the time in the end. Many shall run to and fro. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're dumb. They're running to and fro. And knowledge shall increase. What? By the book. Okay? Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld there stood two on one side of the bank of the river and on the other side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of river. He's not on the other side. There's two. There's one on one side, there's one on the other side, and there's one right in the middle. Right? He's on the water.
Wouldn't that be Jesus?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
this is
clothed in white, yeah.
Okay, turn to Revelation 10. That's a good point. So tell me if this sounds familiar. Revelation 10. Now you have an angel on one side, you have an angel on the other side, and they're talking to the angel into the middle. Let's finish Daniel first. Turn to Revelation 10, and let's finish this up in Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel 12:6, and one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be till the end? Till the end of these wonders. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and when he held up his right hand and his left hand up to heavens, sweareth by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half a time, when he shall have accomplished and scattered the power of the holy people. All these things shall be finished. So if all these things are finished after time, times, and a dividing of times, that's 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
That's 3.5 years. That's great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of this world. It says that they're going to be finished. Okay, look at Revelation 10. I saw Revelation 10, 1. I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud and a rainbow about his head. Who's that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus, right? And his face was as the sun, and his feet were pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, and he set his right hand on the sea and his left hand on the earth. What's he doing? That's dominion.
Mm-hmm.
When you're standing on something, you are now taking dominion. You're taking dominion of the planet, of the earth, the sea. And I personally think the sea is something deeper than water.
Yeah.
I think it's something spiritual. There's a sea of iniquity.
There's a sea of glass.
There's a sea of glass. Yeah. It is a dimension before the throne.
Right.
And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion, he came as a man, he's coming back as a lion. Right? And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when I heard the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So they're purely speaking here. The seven thunders are speaking,
yeah.
And he's saying, why? Because we're going to get it. Those seven thunders are going to open up to us, the people living in the last days. And the angel which I saw stand on the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand toward heaven. Sound familiar? Jesus is always pointing to the Father, right? And swear by him that liveth forever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, and there should be time no longer. That's it. It's over. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be time anymore. It means this time is over. This thing is about to be fulfilled, like it said in Daniel 12. It is finished. It's going to be finished, and he's about to finish it up here. Verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared unto his servants the prophets. So the seventh angel is the last trump, is the resurrection. What did he say about the resurrection? Behold, I show you a mystery, but we shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does he say here? The mystery of God should be finished. This is one of those reasons why I just believe there's one resurrection of the just and the unjust, right? And it's going to be finished when Christ comes and takes dominion of this earth.
The other neat thing is it may be something that ties into the Hebrews verse that says
they're not
that they
earth.
Are not completed until we
right. That's
now.
Right. They without us.
I just lost.
Yeah, Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11 or beginning of 12. But that they without us shall be.
That's right.
That's an amazing statement, too,
Wendy, because
they aren't meant to know everything. Something will be revealed to us because that's when
That's right. I'm not saying everybody, I'd say most of us. We've all been taught something different. We've all been taught that there's a different plan for the Jew than there is for the Gentile. There's a different gospel, there's a different time. You know, we're going to be removed 7 years. By the way, the Bible says nothing about 7 years.
Right.
It says only
the
half
time, time and a half, or the 1,000, 2,000, whatever it is.
It's 42 months. Yeah. This is what you constantly hear about and the Great Tribulation. 42 months, 1,260 days. Time and then dividing at times. Every time that's mentioned, it's talking about the last 3.5 years of this world. Right? We've been in tribulation for thousands of years.
Are you going to run back to Daniel and finish that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Somebody wants to.
You know, Josephus lifted up his hand both in Daniel and...
Amen.
Same thing. He's pouring them. Not only that, but you know what else I noticed, Doug, about a lot of end time verses? He's talking about him as the creator, which tells me that there's going to be a recreation when he comes.
When he mentions sea there, I never thought about that. That he's putting his dominion.
It's dominion.
Israel was told to put their feet upon the necks of their foes if they defeated.
It's right.
Joshua.
It's right.
And this is dominion, and it's the sea. It does make sense.
It's dominion. When you're standing on something, you have dominion over.
Yeah.
And Kev, so how many toes do you have when you stand on something? 10, right? How many toes does the image have? 10. Yeah. And where does he smash the image? On the head?
No.
At the feet?
At the feet.
He destroys their dominion, and he takes dominion over this. Right? We're told in Daniel, when we study Daniel, that fourth beast, it's not just Antichrist. It's the fourth kingdom. It's the last kingdom. It's the kingdom of Antichrist, the mingled seed with them and humans.
It's the AI of today.
Yes.
All right. It's a hodgepodge.
We can see it happening.
Clay. It's iron and clay. Mm-hmm. Both were refers to it.
Yep. I mean, clearly we could see this happening. We see what's going on, but yet we're going to be removed from it?
Even in this picture that we're given in Daniel and the picture that we're given in the revelation of Christ, if you think of, and this just came to my mind, it might be completely incorrect. You have time, one side on the land, the water, and then the other side of the land. At the time that Daniel sees this, Christ is in the middle of time. Standing on the waters. In the Revelation, he's all the way to the other shore, standing on the land and the water. And he goes beyond the little book.
Yeah.
Right? And so, as we come to the end of that time, that's when the seven thunders are going to utter. You said we'll understand. I don't know if we'll understand until that day comes.
I think
when that day comes, we'll understand.
Yeah.
But until then, it's just something we just have to know.
We'll probably hear those thunders.
Amen. Yes.
And we'll hear those thunders.
Yeah.
You know, and the trumpets blowing says the voice
yes.
of the trumpet. So there's voices speaking. Seven yes. Thunders uttered their voices. So this is all, I don't get it all, yeah. but this is all connected.
Yeah. In the concordance, it calls that trump noise.
Right, yes. yeah.
So it's not, in the earlier, in the Old Testament, it's a trumpet.
That's right.
It's an instrument.
That's right. So think of this too. We're told that the voice of the last trumpet, that we're going to hear the last trumpet. Well, what makes me think I'm not going to hear the other six?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this idea that all of a sudden Gabriel blows his trumpet and we make a disappearing act. I think I got to hear the other six before I hear the last one. Because Luke says when you start to see these things start to happen, then look up, and he's given the order of the things that we're looking
Doesn't
for.
Doesn't it say the sound as of a trumpet?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So we're thinking of...
that's right.
And they're off. No, it's right. It's this...
Right? It's the voice of the Lord.
The voice of the
it's
Lord.
The voice of the Lord. I saw, what did he say? Yeah. I saw as it was a trumpet, as a canvas right. as a trumpet mm-hmm. behind me. And when you read Exodus, the picture of going up
yes.
to the mountain and coming down, it says that the trumpet sounded louder and louder.
Right.
I see Wendy's face. My heart just flew out of my chest thinking of that event.
Yeah.
When he appears in the clouds, how is he slaughtering people? Lightning bolts? With the he's speaking to them.
Yeah.
He's speaking the sword of his mouth, and they are being slaughtered at Armageddon. But once again, for us, it's like, come up hither.
Okay, guys.
Come up.
Now think about this. Frequencies do things, right?
Yeah.
All right, you can have frequencies, and they will really mess you up. If you get the wrong frequency in your head, it will actually turn your brain to water. All right, and you know that that's, I hope you understand that that's a real scientific thing.
Yeah.
They can, Russians did that. During World War II.
How they sterilized with sonic waves.
Yes, sonic waves. Yeah.
Well, light is also a wave, and
I think
the rainbow is a big sign. Like, you know, when God first covered the water with earth, the rainbow was a sign.
Yeah.
He created the world with a wave.
With
a void.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And
God
so
spoke.
And his return and the crown, the rainbow around them, that's the voice of God.
And sin has perverted the sound of God's voice. And that's why we're caught in the lust of the eyes by
that's
the
right.
lust of the flesh. Because that's all that we really hear
but
in our physical butt.
The exciting thing is that when a believer hears truth, it's true.
That's
you
right.
Know it. You have a witness in you that everything you've ever read, you can go to the Bible, everybody should go to the Bible to confirm it. It is confirmed. And I picture end times, not so much that I'm going to know what's going to happen, but I'm going to know even as also I am known.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, everything I see is going to be like, that's what they
had.
Yes. I mean, think about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes, when we're with him, and all of a sudden, all of this is just clear as hell.
We see the glass
dark
face to face.
That's
then all of a sudden it's going to hit us.
I
like the way you just put it, Wendy. We're not, clearly things are going to be revealed to us as we, so we're not going to know, but we'll be prepared.
Right.
We're going to be prepared for what's coming.
Yeah.
And so when things start to happen, I think it's going to be an amazing thing. And I say it all the time. The pre-trippers miss out on the blessing that is going to take place. They want to be removed from it. But we're going to see the hand of God like they did at the Exodus. That's right.
There is an emotional piece to that, though. For people who believe in eternal security, I have a friend of mine she is convinced that her family are safe.
Right.
They are not behaving as though they're safe.
Yeah.
They're not walking in Christ. But if I challenge her in that, the reason she can't go there not is because of pride, but because of fear.
Yeah.
Fear that it's still deception.
Absolutely.
It's still deception.
Yeah.
But there is an emotional component to that.
There clearly is, because you don't want to say to somebody like the guy that showed up,
that's where we bring him up.
You're going to burn in hell because you shall bear no fruit.
Yes.
Christ said, if you don't bear fruit, you're out of here.
He believes that he's born again.
Yeah.
Because he said, I'm born again. I said, no, you're not. And here's the proof that you're not.
That's right.
All right. So he left here fearful.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, you can see it in his face. His whole countenance changed.
He may never come back.
He may never come back. Amen.
I'm in church down the street that'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
I hope he comes back with a hunger and a thirst for what was spoken
for
him.
Yeah.
Wanting.
That's right.
You know, that's my prayer.
Fear.
And he actually gets the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's right. But he was brought up in the church that said, if you say this prayer.
That's right.
All mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was my family.
I'm sure that the what he heard today shook his very theological understanding of salvation. Because I said it when I was 14.
Yep.
Right? And I'm there. I swing into home. No problem.
I have a church, but I don't go to that.
Like when Jesus said he's the bread of life, you have to eat every day.
That's right. That's right. You need to eat every day.
That
you
was
need to
the
drink
every day. Example right. I used on him. If you didn't eat for so many days, how long would you live?
That's right.
If you don't feed your spirit for so many days, how long do you think it's going to be alive in you? But anyhow, but those folks that you're talking about, that lady who was concerned about her family, or not concerned because she thinks that they're safe.
Not concerned. Because, and again, it's the enemy. The enemy chooses, I think of little Cindy Lou Lou.
Yeah, right.
They just go back to bed.
Right.
Know what I mean? It's just go back to sleep. We're all good. Everything's fine. It's the enemy that's saying
that. That's right.
It's not the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And that's the challenge. Well, truth can't be squashed.
Amen. That's right.
They can try to push it down. They can try to ignore it. They can try to think of everything else and fill their brain with all other kinds of information. But at the end, truth will prevail.
That's right. Amen.
That's why I say something.
Yeah, so it's things are left out intentionally. And there's reasons for that. Like Jesus, you know.
You mean scripturally left out?
Yeah.
Jesus. No, they're not left out. They haven't been revealed to us.
Right.
Everything's here.
God purposely, like, keeps that a secret.
Yeah, but then he's left nothing out.
He mentioned
this. Nothing from what we need. Right. Yeah. Everything is in here. What is happening is he's not revealing it. Things yet.
Yeah, so Jesus speaks in parables, right? So
why?
Certain people can understand.
Right.
It gives. So there's
that's right. That's right. And it's to understand the kingdom which he's preaching at.
So it gives us an option to, you know, have this faith. You know?
That's right.
Because you're saved through hope and faith.
Right. Yeah.
But it says you're saved through hope, which is like you're hoping for, you know, God's
right.
kingdom. So what's interesting about that is it seems like everything changes after Jesus, you know, meets out his judgment. Everything goes back to God.
Yeah.
It says even Jesus is subject.
Yeah. Well, there's an order. There's clearly an order to everything.
But it's for a reason.
That's
so
right.
God is all in all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's definitely things that we're not meant to know.
Yeah.
Oh, amen.
And the things that
absolutely.
Are revealed to us are the things that we need at the time.
That's right. I mean, he's saying here in Daniel 12, you know, shut the book up. They're going to be revealed in the end. So all the information we have is here.
Right.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
This is him.
That's right.
Yeah. Not missing parts.
That's right. Okay. All the DNA is there.
He's all there.
That's
all
right.
There.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, yeah, I say this all the time. This book goes into eternity.
Mm-hmm.
This book is going to be written into our souls, into our hearts. It's going to be written into eternity. And the Bible says that when he comes back, it says we are going to go up to the house of the Lord. He will teach us.
Right.
So I think we brought this up Tuesday. We're just scratching the surface in our humanity understanding.
Which means we might not know this going to heaven.
It's right.
Or even at the resurrection. We may need to be.
That's right. So there's
a thousand
things
years before we start to see.
We'll be there millions of years.
Yeah.
Being taught
there's
about
no more time.
It's right. Well, there is time because there's a tree there that is for the months. So
right.
There is a time. I don't know what that means.
Right.
So, in other words, I'll never be God. A million years with God, I'll never be God. He's always God, which means I'm always being taught. It's just a wonderful thing, and I think the way he teaches is like Doug says. this is Jesus Christ.
Right.
But there is going to be a day where I'm not going to need papyri, leather-bound, black ink.
No, we'll
it's going to
be
here.
Yeah.
It's going to be here.
It seems like that relationship is going to be complete, though.
It's going to be so intense. Yes.
The relationship will be complete.
It's going to be so intense. I think of the marriage. He compares it to a marriage between a husband and wife. It's going to be more intense than that. It's going to be more closer. And I really do think, like Deb and Curtis here, that relationship, even though they won't be married as children of God, it's going to be more intense than it is in this realm.
Our relationship now is more intense than it was when we first met.
Right, yeah.
I mean, there are sparks. Now we got flames.
Okay, so you wanted to finish it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then,
boys.
Who are the standard holy people?
Daniel 7.
Yeah, we were at,
Daniel 12:7?
Or, yeah,
man, he should be a 10. Well, we're the holy people, right? We're the ones written in the book. I would include Jews. So clearly the Old Testament is not
anybody who believed
that's
God.
That's right.
Okay, but it says, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people.
Oh, when the Antichrist will come up and he's going to scatter the power of the holy people.
Yeah.
All right, right now we're together and we have power.
Yeah,
because then all these things shall be
yes.
Yeah.
There's coming a time where he's going to rise up. And he's going to make war against the saints. All right, he tells us that in Revelation. Tells us that here, and he is going to have victory over the saints.
Okay, so at that point, it will be finished.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are you
after the scattering? After the scattering, he's gathering.
12:7.
Daniel 12:7.
So first, they're going to be scattered, like Curtis said, by Antichrist. But when Christ comes, he gathers. He doesn't scatter. He gathers the scattered.
Right.
Right. And what does he say? Matthew says, from the four ends of the heaven.
Right.
Well, he says, then all these things will be finished.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
So, the next, according to this, the next on the scene is to see the Antichrist.
Yes.
And to be scattered.
And to be scattered. Amen.
Now you should be waiting for the time of...
Look up, because your redemption draws
nigh. Right.
All right. See, and the folks who believe that you're going to be sucked out of here before that happens, they will see it, but their faith is going to fail. There will be a huge falling away.
Absolutely.
From the knowledge of
God,
from the fear, the desire of God.
That's right.
Because they were taught for over 1,000 years now that they won't see this. That this won't be a part of, they're going to be, I was told by, my pastor, I shouldn't look for the Antichrist. The next one's going to come.
That's
Jesus,
right.
You're going to be called up into the air.
Well, what a setup. That's the setup.
Right?
That's right.
Who here was taught that?
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The next event.
But
imminence.
Yeah.
Right? It's imminent. The return of Christ is, it can happen at any second.
The Christ coming. It's Antichrist.
Yep. Yeah.
They're still preaching it.
They're still preaching it. Yeah.
Go
ahead. The other thing that goes in hand, which I think this verse corrects, is that they say that the Holy Spirit will be taken away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And I think that this verse corrects that no, when the Holy Spirit is gone, it's the end of all things.
That's right. You can't
take
the Holy Spirit.
He's just in his full power.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit never goes.
The Holy
Spirit,
you can't remove the Holy Spirit. So what they'll say is, well, the removing of the church by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So now they move, they just keep moving it to the left more. Go ahead, Ryan.
So let me reword this. God doesn't tell us his whole plan.
Right.
He intentionally hides things from us. And that's because it takes faith. With if he told us his whole plan, then where's the faith that
absolutely.
We probably couldn't take it anyway.
Absolutely.
And he hints in that in Romans that it's, you know, better to have...
Well, he calls them mysteries. He calls all these things that are being held from us mysteries.
Yes. So they
but he starts to reveal mysteries.
Yes.
Right? And the closer we come, like we brought up the parables, the whole point of the parables is it's a mystery to them. The unbeliever doesn't understand it. The unsaved. They don't understand it. The parables are for us to understand. And you know what? I get it.
Yeah,
I understand
it. It gives you a little bit more insight.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll finish up here. verse 8. And I heard and I understood not, then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Does this sound familiar? This is what they asked him at Olivet Discourse. Mm-hmm. What is the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Right?
Now look at Daniel, what he said, I understood not.
That's right.
And he says, I heard, but I understood not.
And here's a guy that God is speaking to him. Angels are appearing before him. And God is holding back some mystery, some knowledge from him, because it's not the time.
Yeah.
It's because it's not the time yet.
Right. Revelation unseals these
things. Yeah. Right? You know what? This whole thing about scripture memorization, okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it.
But God is going to scripturally memorize you. God is going to put verses in your mind, in your heart.
He does that all the time.
That's
now.
Right. He's hiding them.
In this group on Sunday morning, or on men's group on Tuesday evenings, and I would imagine on women's group, I've not been here, so I have to imagine, that the Holy Spirit does the very same thing.
Right.
We're talking on one thing, and something else comes up. And if it's scripture, guess where it came from?
Because a lot of times I'm not even thinking about that,
mm-hmm.
and God puts that scripture in my mind.
That's right.
But putting it back down the road, all right, there was just a thing posted, there's 900,000 singular prisons in China right now.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture memorization, you're going to be held captive by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Doug's not going to help you with that verse.
Yeah.
Here's Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you don't have
that's
enough
right.
I agree.
For every moment that you spend trying to memorize, I think memorization is very important.
Yeah.
For every moment I spend working on memorizing, I have been immersed in God's Word.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But
Wendy, have you like been just like living daily life and all of a sudden you'll see something and the verse will come into your mind?
But the memorization isn't the Spirit communicating with me. It's my washing of my own mind.
Absolutely.
So I have scripture that comes to mind because I have it memorized.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
And how can the Holy Spirit pull something out of you that ain't there?
That never happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm not poo-pooing scripture memorization. What I'm saying is it's being guided by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know,
don't rely on it because of the fact you...
Yeah.
You can apply
for what
right.
you are to say.
That's right.
But
yeah.
It'll be given to you.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably quote to you Matthew 24. I didn't study, write it over and over again and study it and read. It's just from just God showing me things and kept showing it to me. I could probably walk, I could go right through it right now. And it's not by any human study I've done. It's by God revealing.
And the thing is that with the people in prison, that is some of my prayer. When I pray
yeah.
the first years of people in prison, I pray for their memories.
Yes.
Remember those hymns. Remember those songs. Remember God's word. Pray for them, for their memory to be sound, and for them to be able to recall things. Because I do think that's essential.
Sure. I don't believe that when it comes down to it, it's not going to be the gathering of the church and we're going to put you in a pile here.
Yeah,
all
no.
Right? No.
Yeah.
Oh, Satan already realizes.
Yeah,
you got to separate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, this idea that you know we're going to be thrown into the gulag and there's going to be church services—that's not what they're doing. They hate us. They want to persecute
Satan
us. They
want to
punish
us.
That's right. That's right.
Well, what did Christ do? He sent them out in twos.
That's right.
Well, we can separate the two.
Yeah, that's right.
Break them.
Yep.
I will just say that when I was in Bible quizzing, I had to memorize the genealogy of Matthew 1. And I'm like, what is about that? But I'll tell you, I got really blessed when you put Zerubbabel in that lineage.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know that name. I know that. And now I know the story. But I also know that the people that God included, like Rahab, a prostitute, like a Tamar, like... They have stories that God wanted to do a little line for us.
That's right.
And so even the genealogy, it's
I think in our studies, even in Ezekiel, how important the genealogies are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they get to the genealogies and they poo-poo it. But then, like Dale was saying, you start to read these genealogies, you're, wait a minute, I've heard that name before. And a lot of this stuff seems to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, like you said, the three women, Rahab the harlot, the Gentile, a harlot.
Yeah,
she's in the lineage.
She had faith
in
the
Lord
based on what she saw from the people of Israel.
Absolutely. Tamar. Tamar's in the lineage. She's Judah's, not concubine, but whore, right? Who's the other one?
Ruth.
The Moabitess.
Yeah.
Three Gentile women. I don't think Bathsheba, even though she's mentioned, I do think she's Jewish.
I
don't think she was
Uriah was a Hittite.
Yeah, Uriah was a Hittite, but it gives her lineage. Yeah, her lineage is Jewish. But
even in the lineage, it reveals the character and tenderness of love.
Absolutely.
Right?
They got
everyone that comes to him.
That's what I say. Well, I brought it up last week. When you see these names mentioned, David will sit on the throne, Zerubbabel will build the temple. He's not talking about those people. He's talking about the lineage of those people which lead to Christ.
And those people, in order, make a sentence from God.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we saw that in Genesis, right? Go ahead, Lane.
So one of the confusing things I brought up last night, Alex and another pastor too. There's two pastors there. We're not saved by works.
No.
But works show you're saved.
So it seems like faith, you know, to God is like number one.
Mm-hmm.
Because the murderer that was next to Jesus, he said, I'll see you in paradise because he believed in Jesus.
That's right.
But he didn't know anything.
Absolutely.
He didn't have to know anything.
But he was a thief.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it says that you're clothed by your works. Right?
Your works are the fruit being produced in you.
But,
so you better have works.
Clothed in cobwebs.
Right.
Which is not the new flesh.
You're saved by faith into, you know, you read these accounts where the woman.
You're talking about the thief. How much time did he have to do any works?
I was like the guy who
declared that Jesus was God.
There you go.
There's
right.
The works.
That
was the
works.
He
witnessed.
Yes.
To the other guy, and it was recorded in scripture.
Right. Absolutely,
like there was a lot of works there.
Yes,
well, there was works there,
and not just to the other thief, but all of them.
And people listening,
and people who read the word.
So he did have works, but works followed the faith. The faith produced
the
works.
The
works.
Faith.
Yeah,
produced.
That's
works.
Right.
And it talks about the works like that. Like you gather up treasures. You know, in heaven, right? From the works.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so every
faith
person.
I don't know, treasures are here.
The treasure.
Mm-hmm.
The treasure.
So every person who has trusted Jesus Christ because of what the man on the cross did, and a lot of people have.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
Those are his treasures in heaven.
That's right. The treasures are heaven.
That is
the reward.
So that is the reward.
Yeah,
that's
testimony.
Why we should never. Pass up an opportunity.
And what did God say about the reward? The treasures. I am thy
I am your.
And everything else is added to us after that.
It reminds me, too, of the story about the people that are complaining that these last-second conversions are the same treasure.
Right?
It's like, man, we've been working our whole lives.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the guy in the cross, he's going to save so many more people than I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
I spent my whole life drudging around Western New York.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, immortalized in the world.
He says a few words, and people read those words and say, well, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can believe in him. And he changes lives.
It's not the same reward, though, right? There is a structure there.
The
so
reward
depending on
is
your
Christ. Now, wait a second. What is the reward? It is Christ. It is Christ. That is the great and exceeding reward.
Nothing more.
All right, I'm not gonna get an extra jacket.
Yeah,
you know,
with every
button on it.
Everything
you know?
is meted out like it's perfect judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people that have better testimonies than other people, right?
But they don't get a better reward.
They
don't get a better reward. They get the same reward.
The men in the field that were paid the same.
That's right. They got paid the same. The reward is the same. It's always the same.
So
you're not going to have more than me in the kingdom. You're going to have what
the
I have.
Is we look at it from the human side.
Right.
Thank
and
you.
He's looking at it
right.
from his side. All he cares about is I'm going to have fellowship
that's
with
right.
you.
That's right.
Whether you came late or whether you came early.
So what is the reward? It is indeed a relationship, or
God all in all.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I say I think it's important too, because I think we've also been taught as fundamentalists, mm-hmm. we're always looking back at the cross. That's important. The
yeah.
cross is important. But there is a second coming mm-hmm. that I can look forward to.
Right.
A kingdom of perfection, me being cleansed. Lance, I'm sick of myself.
Yes.
I'm sick of myself. How, oh Lord, this wretched man that I am, I want to live a godly life, but the flesh says, who are you to live a godly life? And they keep at war with each other. How great is it going to be that when that second appearing comes, I am looking forward to that too. I'm not just looking back at the cross, but I'm looking forward at the second coming.
Looking back at the cross is like looking back at Moses.
That's right.
Right, amen?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know,
that
I'm thankful
done.
For the cross.
Jesus said, it is finished.
That's right.
What's the next thing happening?
I'm coming back.
The glory of God.
I'm
yeah,
coming
I'm grateful
back.
For Noah.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Right. That's handled.
Yeah,
that's handled.
That's part of the suffering, too. There's no more conflict.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And
okay.
So,
you want to finish this up? Because, okay.
Mini Shelby?
Where am I?
Nine or ten.
All right. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from that time, from the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. In the abomination that make it desolate, there shall be 1,290 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so clearly this is not
3.5 years.
So I think what he's saying here, first of all, it's the abomination that is going to cause the desolation.
Yeah.
When is the desolation? The desolation is at the end of the world. So by the time he steps into the temple and says, I'm God, worship me, but yet I believe it was being taught here. Now, maybe I'm wrong. This is just my view of it. Because I think everything points to the 1260, to the day of the Lord. So 30 days before, he takes away the daily sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Then 30 days later, he goes through the process of proclaiming himself to be God. And then 30 days later, he steps into the temple of God and says, I'm God, worship me. Now you have 1260 to go.
Right.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's other verses here, too, that say, you know.
If I would just back up, verse 10, many shall be purified and may fight and try. And try. All right, you'll be tested.
That's right.
Many shall be purified and may fight and try. But the wicked shall do wickedly.
That's right.
None of the wicked shall understand. As we're talking to people that do not understand, grasp this. They have rejected, right now they're blinded. They are doing wickedly. And they're loving their darkness rather
right.
than the light. John chapter 3 tells us that. This is the core of their problem. The core of the ones who will not understand is not that they cannot understand. They will not because they love their wickedness. I love my Facebook more than I love facing the book. All right,
look at verse 10. Does that not remind you of the 10 virgins and 5 were wise?
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Or the blind men, the 10 blind men.
That's right.
And only one return.
But he only appears once.
Yes.
The bridegroom
right.
cometh.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come and then come again 1,000 years
no.
later.
One
or
time.
Come again
yeah.
7 years before and then again. There are people, there are pre-trippers that believe he comes to pre-trip rapture, mid-trip, post-trip.
Right.
And they're all resurrections. You're like, you're reaching at straws. You just, you don't know what
well,
you're...
What you've done is you've made it up.
What did Jesus say? You err not knowing the scriptures.
Right, yes.
You err not knowing the scriptures.
But I think they're being taught and they're not
enough.
Questioning it.
Yes,
that's
amen.
Oh, you take it
that's
for
right,
fact.
Yes.
And you never, like,
yes.
That doesn't really make sense.
Christians
right.
are...
A lot of people come away not blessed by the book of Revelation.
Right.
That's right.
And we're supposed to be blessed.
Yeah.
yeah.
Because, like you're saying, is they don't question, well, all right, if this is happening, why?
That's right.
And where else does it happen in the Word
you
of God?
You come away more confused.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
Hungering
yeah.
and thirsting for the righteousness of God. Reading the Revelation makes me want to know why Daniel said what he said.
That's right.
It makes me want to know why.
It puts everything together.
Yes.
It puts, like you say, it puts everything
yes.
in order. The New Testament and the Old Testament are brought together. By the time you get to Revelation, Jesus Christ is figured out. You've probably read the other 65 books.
Yeah.
And he's putting them all together as perfect harmony, Jew and Gentile together, one resurrection, one second coming, one first coming.
As a mystery.
That's right.
He put it together as a mystery. All the puzzle pieces are in the box, but the puzzle's not put together.
I know what Revelation did for me.
That's the blessing.
That's the blessing.
I know what, it's right.
Oh, I'm
that's right. You know what, Wendy just said it. You know what the study of Revelation has done for me?
Wow.
Tom, there's no hope in yourself.
Amen. That's right. Yes.
You need Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And you better depend on Him. You're not going to be a post-trib prepper, right? I get it. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting the generator, having some food for crisis. But if you think that is going to get you through 3.5 years of great tribulation, you've got the wrong mindset. You're no different than a pre-tribber.
Right.
You've got the wrong mindset already. You're trying to preserve your flesh. Am I sure I really want to live through that anyway? I mean, have you read the 3.5 years?
Right.
Famines, pestilence, throwing you in prison, beating you.
Living in the caves of the rock,
right?
Clothed by...
Right.
How many of us know how to tan a hide?
Right.
All right. You said that they were living in...
I've had mine tanned.
Yeah. No, but I mean, really and truly, I'm going to do this. If the Lord would have gave me a deer this year, which He didn't do, I was planning on tanning the hide.
Oh, right.
If I could learn how to make clothes, right?
Okay.
From scratch. Or file scratch. Yeah, we're not making it.
I wanted to... we kind of did this on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Showing that the kingdom is not for them and it's for us.
Right. But y'all gals missed out.
Well, I mean, we could still do it if I think some of the guys, because Kev can't come on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Justin can't come on Tuesdays anymore. So, I mean, do we want to continue that next week? We've done it before. We've done it on Tuesday. We really went through it. I don't know, John, how many verses? 10?
There's no Sunday school next week.
There's no Sunday school.
Yeah. By the way, next week we're just eating for Sunday school.
Yeah.
All right, so bring your appetites.
Bring your Bible.
And your Bible.
Yeah. You know.
Bring your Bible.
Yeah, I'm not going to be here at 9:30, but I'll be here for a service. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife usually exchange gifts, so.
I've got a request. And I know you guys will all agree. It's not a... so God's word is the...
paramount. So
I have a request that whenever anybody reads out of God's word, anything, they will always give the name of the book.
Amen. Yes.
The chapter.
Proper address.
And the time for everyone to turn to it. And I think that we get caught up in tying things together, mm-hmm. and I get it. I've done it. You know, we've all done it. But I think as a body,
mm-hmm.
that we bring honor to this book, which means that the words that we read out of the Bible are the most important things to set here, right? And so make sure that everybody has the opportunity to turn to it, look at it, because sometimes I might look at another
mm-hmm.
verse that comes to my mind while you're talking, and then somebody says, okay, verse 9. Well, wait, is that verse 9 Daniel or Revelation? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I kind of skip like a rock on the water.
Right, so I'm just going to request that whenever a Bible verse is going to be read, whoever reads it, please give chapter, verse, and the time.
And we can remind each other as we do it.
Yeah, amen.
Because we won't remember it.
But, and I think really, you know, to remind me of this, because I move fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just need to slow down, make sure everybody's there. You know what I mean? Just, if you're not there, say, hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's just our way of, to me, it's a behavior that expresses our value of God's.
Right.
That is the most important thing that we do here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny, because back when I was reading commentaries, I'd skip over their verses and read the commentary.
We all did.
Verses,
yep.
I said, okay, they say what they say.
Yeah.
What's this man say?
Yeah.
That's right.
And now that I look at it, I think, God, thank you so much for forgiving me.
Well, how about the genealogies? How many times are you like, we're just rifling through them, Freddie, we got Joey, and now I'm reading, I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? I get this. I get where you're going with this, Lord.
Yeah.
To me, too, it's like next week, it's a very interesting, I brought this up. Okay, so we know Jesus wasn't conceived on December 25th. It's very interesting, though, because if He was born on Feast of Tabernacles, God with man, right? God with man, which would have put him in around September. He could have been conceived.
Just saw that
in December.
YouTube message this week.
So
he said somewhere between the 21st and 25th.
Yeah, and we know that like it's a pagan holiday, the winter yes. is the solstice. But it also could be victory over that by her conceiving the Savior in December.
So when does life start?
That's right. And
the first cell splits.
You know, and there's something interesting too about. I did want to do something next week, but I'm not going to be here for it. But the first coming and second coming, Christ's second coming comes in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
The first coming, he came in the clouds. Job calls the clouds a swaddling.
Right.
And what was Jesus clothed in? Swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
And there was angels that appear at the end of the world. There's angels that appeared when he came. Mm-hmm. So the connections between the first and second coming are just... They're there, man.
Yeah.
Is the typology?
Oh, it's all just coincidence.
Yeah.
And his birth and his death are 6 months apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Your book, this book. Praise God, Lord God. We just praise you, like Doug said, that this is not a book, leather bound, white pages, black ink, red ink. This is our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
This book is Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful that you have sent him into the world the first time through mercy and grace to pay the price for the sins of man, that he humbled himself. I can't even imagine, Lord, that the God of the universe would humble himself and become a man and take on sinful human flesh, although his was without sin. Mm-hmm. That he would become one of us. That he would be killed by the ones that he created. But Father God, the plan was perfect. That through his blood we have redemption. And we are so thankful that you have seen the depravity of man and sent your son to pay the price for us. Lord, I pray that you would open up